This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Roshan Kanesan, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And a key change in the universe of business over the next few years could be digital banking. And we're exploring that today here on the show with Lai Pei Si, CEO of GX Bank, and Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank, leaders of at the helm of two of Malaysia's pioneering digital banks. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what's guiding the developments and approaches to their respective banks, as well as the intricacies of what it takes to build a bank from scratch and how it differs from the conventional model that we're so used to, as well as strategies they are taking to acquire and retain customers. I'm sure a key focus of theirs at this present, or at least in the next year or so. We'll also get into the strategic advantages provided by their parent companies, shareholders and consortium partners. Just for those who aren't aware, GX Bank is a subsidiary of GXS Bank, a joint venture between Grab Holdings and Singtel, and other consortium partner is Quark Group. We've also got Aeon Bank, which operates under the joint ownership of Aeon Financial Services Limited and Aeon Credit Services Malaysia Berhad, both of which are subsidiaries of Japan's largest retail group, Aeon Group. And if you have any thoughts or questions, you can WhatsApp us on our U-Mobile number. That's 018-789-8899. Or as always, you can tweet us at BFM Radio or X or whatever it is you like to call that platform today. Pei Si, Rajate, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great
to be here.
Yeah, sorry, I butchered a little bit of the introduction there. I wasn't as smooth as I should be, but I'm going to blame Monday afternoon for that. Not even Monday morning, I'm going to blame Monday in general for that. Digital bank, fintech in general, has been a big interest of mine over the last few years, and watching all the digital plays come into it. We had digital wealth, we had digital insurance, digital banks have been coming, are now in play. But each of them seem to have maybe a different way of going about what they want to do. Maybe talk to us about your respective philosophies behind GX Bank and Aeon Bank respectively, and how that's guided the approach of building your respective banks. Basically, let's start with you, given you were the first out of the gates with a bank late last year, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. We were first out of the gate, and we've already actually gone public launch since November last year. So actually, certainly actually for us, as we think about how we want to build a bank and what forms the foundation of those principles, right? So the first is that the belief that we are here to effect actually changes on how Malaysians bank. Mm-hmm. And how Malaysians actually access actually all these financial solutions. So that's the first belief. Second then is really then how, right? As we think about the principles of actually building it, right? First is that we are here to grow for good, right? Meaning that we put customer actually in the center of everything that we build. Mm. Look at your pain points, solve for those pain points and build for it. And build for the good, right? Making sure that and in this case, we just spoke about that actually right before the session. We talked about how folks, before they can think about investing, they should start actually first protecting themselves. Mm. Before they start protecting themselves, they need to learn how to save. So in that way, I think the first pain point that we have identified actually so far is that we do need to encourage Malaysians to save, mm-hmm. right? And to save responsibly. So there you go, right? We went up first product actually out of gate was actually deposit. Now, the second, I think, most important principle, given that we are a digital bank, is that we are powered by tech. Mm. What that means is that whenever we design, we put technology right in the center, because technology enables us to scale, mm-hmm. enables us to actually pick up solutions that in the past we hadn't been able to actually do so, right? And technology enables us to compute actually the data that we will have such that we'll be able to personalize it actually for the customer. Mm. And the third is truly actually around people, right? How do we then make sure that we've got the right sets of people to what we call be a bridge to the underserved, to think about the underserved and how do we bridge the solutions to serve the underserved segments that I think not only we're mandated to serve, but we feel that it's our mission to serve.
Mm. Yeah, that's going to be a key part of the conversation as well, right? Because there are some questions over how digital can be used to serve the underserved, and we'll touch on that a little later. Rajate, let's talk about Aeon Bank, and I understand that you are in beta currently, right?
Yep.
So talk to us a little bit about, you know, the approach that that Aeon is taking with this, and it's an Islamic bank, correct?
Yes. So for us, I guess you would know that the mandate given to all the digital banks is to serve the underserved, and that financial inclusion is a very big part of that mandate. So for us, actually, if you were to look at Aeon Credit, we have always been in this space. For 27 years, we have been able to extend financing facility to those who otherwise would never have been able to borrow. We actually have control of the largest, we have the largest market share for motorcycle loans in this country, and also a fair bit chunk of personal financing. And most of our borrowers in Aeon Credit would not have been able to borrow from the regular banks. So it's an extension of that DNA. Mm. We are already in the space of financial inclusion has always been important to us, being able to target segments that have not been able to be served. So it was a natural evolution from a credit company to then being able to help our customers to do the next thing, which is actually build their credit profile, and more importantly, like what Pacey said, is to learn how to save. So a majority of our customers on the credit company side would be very credit thin. They would come to us when they have zero credit profile. Mm. When they graduate, most of the time, then they find themselves where banks are not quite ready to receive them because they haven't quite graduated. So this is where we're positioning ourselves to help those who have come to us at that very early stages of their lives, and then teach them how to save, and over time teach them to manage their money. And similar to GX Bank, our first products will be in the deposit space. And hoping that with that, we will be able to serve our customers for a longer period of time. So they don't just come with their very first financing facility, but they will stay on and we'll be able to guide them along the way. In addition to that, as you know, we are a large retail chain. We have been here. This is our 40th year in the country. So we're celebrating our 40th anniversary in September. And we have a large following of customers also. And we have a loyalty program, which I think, I hope all of you are familiar with. And I hope that you're customers of our Aeon supermarkets and stores. So we have always been, you know, providing loyalty. And this is what part of what the bank is meant to do, is to facilitate acquisition of this customer digitally, and also to be able to provide a little extra for the people who have been shopping with us for the longest time. So, you know, they don't just get loyalty, they can use our facility to make purchases. So the whole idea is really to provide within our ecosystem that extra something for our customers. So that was at the back of it, was an it was a natural evolution for us.
All right. And I guess a big part of this conversation also would be around how your respective shareholding companies play a big role, right? Because it just from what you've told us there, Rajate, the credit providing that Aeon Credit did is kind of like a funnel, or at least it provides you a little bit of that sense of what people need in terms of credit. But also you've got market access through the Aeon stores as well. And we're going to dive into all that in more in a few minutes. And when we come back, we'll actually start with building a bank from scratch. That should be an interesting conversation. Folks, you're listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we're talking about digital banks here in Malaysia with Lai Pacey, CEO of GX Bank, and Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank, leaders at the helm of two of Malaysia's pioneering digital banks. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Baba from Malacca, BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, and welcome to Enterprise Explores. I'm Roshan Kanisan, and this is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we're talking about digital banks here in Malaysia with Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank, and Lai Pacey, CEO of GX Bank, leaders at the helm of two of Malaysia's pioneering digital banks. Now, basically, GX Bank out of the gate from November. Rajate, I understand Aeon, as we mentioned earlier, is in the beta phase. But you've both spent the better part of the last 2 years building, developing these banks. And building a bank, I'm going to assume, not an easy feat, especially from scratch. So could you give us a sense of, you know, some of the tech and the processes that go into building what is necessary, I guess, for a digital bank to come alive? Casey?
Okay. I'll take a deep breath. Okay. It's been a really, I think long process of actually building the bank. Fact is that we are a bank. So what it means is that you need to put the foundations actually all into first building the bank, right? Mm-hmm. On the people first, right? We do actually have a very nice group of half bankers and half technologists.
Ah.
Really, actually just setting up the bank together, no? And being able to have these two groups of folks whom have very, bring very different expertise actually onto the table, right, means that there's going to be lots of collaboration and lots of actually trying to, design right from a blank piece of paper with a vision and a mission in view to actually design a bank actually for the future. So it's incredibly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whilst it's extremely exciting, it's been extremely, extremely difficult as well. It's really then about filling this piece of blank paper with all the right technology. And we are very lucky, right? We're in a place where the technology out there is amazing, right? We're able to find technology that's fit for purpose, that's going to be fit for iteration, because we know actually customers' behavior will change every day, and we need to be able to see to those behavior.
Mm. Right? It's got to be scalable, adaptable.
It's got to be scalable. It's got to be adaptable. It's got to be iterative. Mm. It's got to be able to get lots and lots of actually data points, so that we be able to take all these data points and learn from it and iterate it, right, as we build actually for the next thing.
Mm.
I think the third is that we are in an industry that's extremely. It's a very old industry, you know. It's been here for a long time.
Yeah.
So, and building it actually with the intention to really challenge the corners, making sure that whatever we do, we go back to the fundamentals of 101 to say this is what ought to be done and then challenge it, right? And that's, I think, driving us every day to actually try to actually build something that's actually new, right? It's been, I think I speak for the rest of my team. I've got now almost 400 people in my team now. I speak for everybody. It's been a privilege. It's a true privilege to be able to build a bank from scratch at this time where we know that when the mission is clear, where our consumers are welcoming of a digital banking. Right? And together, I think, with our, I won't say partners in crime, certainly actually partners actually in digital banking.
Partners in financial inclusion.
Absolutely. Yes. Partners in financial inclusion, partners in building a digital bank together. We then actually find a way to really, I think, push the corners of what banking could be actually in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Rajate, how much of that do you relate to in your own journey in building Aeon Bank?
Well, there's one thing I agree with PC is it's really very hard. But what drew me to this, because I've been in banking for 30 years, and what really drew this to me for about 12, 13 years ago, this whole digitization transformation became very clear to me as something that we absolutely needed to do.
Hmm.
And try as I had, and it's very challenging to transform from within, particularly when most of the incumbent banks were doing well. And so the real push for transformation becomes difficult. And also the move from on-prem to digital was difficult. So the draw for me was that opportunity to build something from scratch, which allowed us to be, number one, cloud native. Number two, allowed us to then be agile, iterative, and try things. If it doesn't work, we can do something else. And the speed of it, I don't think would have been possible. I mean, it's been less than 2 years, and that less than 2 years, the number of technology stacks that we have built and the others that we have consumed, is this something you would not be able to do, in a traditional setup? So that's where the privilege comes in, as Pacey said, because that whole inclusion mandate, I think, can and inshallah will be a reality, because the cost of building this bank is literally, a fraction of the big banks that we both have served in before, right? So that should be different. And also the thing that drove me is that behavior, change in behavior. When was the last time you went to a bank branch, Rohan? Exactly. Yeah. I bet Kishan here has never stepped into a bank branch. And there's costs in running those things. So hopefully this would mean that we hopefully be able to make offerings to Malaysians that could be more cost effective. But the whole part of the challenge is, at the end of the day, we are a bank, like Pacey said, we're not a fintech. So the part about compliance and risk is something that we simply cannot compromise. Mm. So the challenge of bringing two very different type of people, the technologists who are used to building something in the morning and selling it in the afternoon, vis-a-vis a bank where you have to get through everybody's clearance. So coming together was quite interesting. But seeing the talent that we see, and most of it are Malaysian talents, Malaysian tech talents, the stuff that we're building, we're actually using our own people. And for them is to provide that platform for our own people to flourish. And so when you think about technology, people don't think that we have it. But actually, well, at least with Aeon Bank, 99.9% of my techies are all Malaysians.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. If I do, I also add to that, right? In Jack's Bank, it's also the same, right? It's more than 99% actually all Malaysians. Technologists. Mm. So when we think about, sometimes folks talk about the dearth of technology talents in Malaysia. Mm. It's absolutely not true, right? It's actually how our banks are actually made of now.
And the opportunity that we can give them to do these things, and otherwise they would never have had that opportunity, say, in an incumbent bank, because the traditional banks tend to use platforms or softwares that's developed by third parties because that's not their focus, whereas we are a technology company that provides banking services. So it's a completely different, do you know what I mean? It's just from a different angle. We are a bank, but we're a technology company. So that is why I feel the five of us hopefully will be able to provide that kind of opportunity for our young ones.
Five of y'all, including the other three who won the licenses. Boost Bank also launched their offering, I think, same day?
They're also in beta.
Yeah.
Together with us.
They're also in beta, and we'll hear from the other two in time, I'm sure. It's very interesting. I think the point that you were bringing up there, that finance meets technologist angle, because the older banks maybe didn't have the same level of with legacy systems. I guess comes limitations, as you were, I think, alluring to mentioning earlier. So, from your perspective, Rajate, from going from an incumbent big bank to this upstart, this digital bank where there isn't that same baggage or legacy systems, has it been refreshing trying to do the things that you were trying to do from before?
Well, it has, although a lot of people have wondered whether I'm having a midlife crisis. Why would you want to go into a startup bank? It is refreshing in that we are not limited by any particular technology. So it is up to you to build your own or adopt anybody else's. And you can move from one platform to another because everything is on subscription, as opposed to those days when we were to sign a contract, we have to sign it for very long periods of time. And you're stuck with that because the build itself would cost a lot of money. So here it's not, okay, even for us, right, we've gone with some people, doesn't look so great, maybe we can try to go with others, or maybe we copy-paste and build ourselves. So that has been the most refreshing to me when my guys say, I think we don't need to use them, we can do it ourselves. So I think the biggest refreshing thing is for a lot of the guys, they themselves, our technology guys, they are not inhibited because they come from different industry. So they don't have this like preconceived idea about how it's supposed to look like. And so we get fresh ideas. You know, so this has been, yes, extremely refreshing. Just one more thing is on the point of credit modeling. I think this is perhaps going to be the most refreshing thing ever because traditionally we've always gone back to the same data, which is the traditional bureau kind of stuff. My hope is that all of us will be able to do hybrid and start looking at alternative data as well to enrich someone's credit profile, especially if you're young and you're credit thin. That is not possible if you're not a digital bank because you have to pull these things through APIs. It's not possible those days because how are you going to, you know, consume these data? So whereas for us, we're able to consume data and as long as it's consentable and as long as it's API-able, you know, and if you say, okay, I can even have a look at your how you pay your utility bills, Rohan. So traditionally, we never bother to look at something like that. But if you're so new, we can see, oh, how does Rohan pay his Tenaga bills? How does he pay his telephone bills? Yeah, if he's, you know, on the dot, your credit rating gets better. So that is the hope, at least the reason why I made that journey and that transition, is to be able to build something that was different that, and hopefully that we'll be able to address the gap. So this is very key. The traditional banks are very important. They are literally the proxy to our economy. But our roles, I think, is to try to fill in the gaps that those banks have not been able to do so.
Alternative data scoring has been a key conversation topic, I think, in fintech spaces for the last, I don't know, I think my first interview at BFM actually was with Sitos, with Dennis, when he was at the helm back in then. About data scoring, right? And all the P2P players seem to be playing this space, funding societies as well. Hopefully, with as the digital banks come about, it becomes more tangible and our credit ability to credit score people gets better. Now, both of you have big backers in your respective banks here. Rajate, since you brought it up earlier in terms of, you know, Aon and in some of this credit scoring as well, talk to us about the strategic advantages that having Aon, Aon Credit and Aon Financial Services as the joint owners of Aon Bank, what do you bring to the table here to help you build and grow?
First and foremost is the brand. I don't think there's, unless you've been living under, you know, a shell, I think every Malaysian would know Aeon. You would have at least shopped at our stores, you know, or borrowed from us. So the brand is a big one. And the whole retail business partner ecosystem is something that I'm very grateful for. So that's where data being one, being able to, you know, use some of these data to build better credit scores and stuff, and also channels. So, yes, so, yeah, I'm hoping that you'd come to our, because you've been coming to our malls and shop, and therefore, you know, you get familiar with us and with the stuff that, you know, Aeon Bank hopes to offer an Aeon customer, and you know, it just rolls into something else. And we have several other things. We've got logistic company, we've got entertainment, we've got Kidzuna, have you heard of us?
Kidzuna?
Yes, yes.
I've heard of Kidzania. Is that the same?
No, that's our version is Kidzuna.
Ah.
It's an Aeon Fantasy. So these are where support, of course, you know, from a capital perspective is unquestionable. But more importantly, I think for me here in Malaysia is the brand and the network and the ecosystem that we have.
And Pacey, on your end?
Okay, for
Pacey
us,
has Grab.
Yeah, so just to name again, because it was a while back.
Right.
Obviously, GXS Bank, that's the joint venture between Grab and Singtel, but you've also got in the consortium Kuok Group as well. Talk to us about the strategic advantages that they bring to the table.
Okay, so like Rajat said, in Malaysia context, we have Grab. And actually for us, actually Grab brings two things. The first is the ethos of being. The reason actually for being, they were here, they set it up, Grab was set up actually because they wanted to serve the everyday entrepreneurs, they wanted to serve the everyday Malaysians. right? And then actually with that ethos, it has, I think, been adopted really actually by all the subsidiaries, including HGX Bank, to say that we are here truly actually to make the difference, to disrupt, and disrupt an intent, right, to change, and to change for the better. And that's a very powerful, I think, ethos that we have inherited and adopted actually as a bank. That's the first. Second is, it's undeniable. We are a technology company providing financial services. We're not a bank trying to use technology. And in this regard, Grab, being first a technology company, has actually learned how to not only scale in a voluminous and a gigantic way, right? And being able to, I think over the years, iterate, right? You know, every 2 weeks, I know there's a new iteration that happens, right? within actually the Grab app, right? And that's because they're listening to what the customers are saying, taking the feedback and iterate as it goes, and bringing us actually the solution that is more and more relevant actually to the users actually out there. And that's going to be another big, I think, inheritance that we get as part of a Grab consortium, right? That the technology that we are able to learn from and actually bring all these learnings and all the iterations and all the scaling, right? The intuitive experiences that one gets out actually of it. So therefore, with Grab being our parent, what you should really expect is an experience that is going to be intuitive, it's going to be hopefully fun, it's going to be relevant, and actually get customers actually out there. So that's one big overall.
Mm-hmm.
Second is that us actually being a technology company also means that we do have access actually to all these great technology platform, and we are actually cloud native. So with that, it's without a doubt, right, as we build a bank, as we think about leveraging off our parents, we learn actually from all these technology lessons they've had. The third is financial backing.
Mm.
We are owned by a bank in Singapore that is in return actually owned by Grab as well as Singtel. So building a bank, and I'm sure Rajati would know this, it's extremely expensive.
Mm.
Because ultimately, we need to build a bank that is going to be sustainable actually for many generations to come. Building it right, building, whilst cost is going to be important, but building actually the right investments and a long-term view on what it should be is going to be an important right, actually for us. So in that way, that's the next big thing that we can get out of our partners. And last is market access. Well, just like, I know, everybody knows about Aeon. I hope everybody uses Grab. I use Grab all the time. Being able to have access actually to the ecosystem, access to the users, right, access to the brand, helps us greatly in building actually our bank and building our user base.
Yeah, there have been some parallels, I think, as both a user of Grab and GX Bank. In terms of, I think, the UX, obviously, both of you at very early stages, even GX Bank, even though you have come online since November, it's still very early, right? It's only CASA products, a debit card, but no credit products just yet,
yes.
Which we'll talk about in a little bit. But more importantly, we'll talk about the customer retention and the strategy going forward. Folks, you're listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business. And today we're talking about digital banks here in Malaysia with Lai Pei Si, CEO of GX Bank, and Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank. I'm Roshan Gunnison. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and today we're talking about digital banks here in Malaysia with Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank, as well as Lai Pei Si, CEO of GX Bank, both leaders at the helm of two of Malaysia's pioneering digital banks, of which we're expecting a total of five to eventually come into play. The other bank, of course, that's already in beta is Boost Bank. Now, at the heart of this is going to be customer experience, right? It's going to be the thing that makes or breaks the bank, how you acquire customers and keep them on the platform. Because given its digital nature, switching costs is going to be not a barrier, let's put it that way. So, Rajate, let's start with you on this. As you are in beta right now, developing your bank, how are you looking at your strategy towards acquiring and retaining customers?
I'm going to throw loyalty points your way.
It's a great strategy.
Well, this is going to be very new. I mean, we're going to start with CASA stuff as well. But over time, the plan is for us to wire our the experience with our retail site, something that we have not quite done yet, but I think eventually as a customer, then it becomes easier if you're just using one app and you just have to talk to one, you know, one channel. Mm-hmm. So that's where the plan is, to make it easier for you to shop, that is really the key part for us. And that's where we're going to focus on. Also, in the bigger ecosystem, the focus will be on our motorcycle dealers, on our tenants, on our merchants. And so that's a little much later down the road. But then we will be building financial services to serve those business partners of ours. So that's the plan. That's the bigger plan for us. Yeah.
Specifically to support those business partners in terms, because a big space that seems to be missing is good banking for SMEs. Right?
Yes.
It's a space that's currently not being super well served. Yep. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes, micro SMEs and small businesses within our ecosystem. So even like our motorcycle dealers, when people come and buy motorcycles from our dealers, and when Aeon Credit provides financing, it's actually done via the motorcycle dealers themselves. So, you know, it's been funneled through that way. And of course, right now, Aeon Credit uses another bank for that purpose. So the idea behind this is for us to step in and do all that for our business partners. And possibly maybe our smaller suppliers. I'm not talking about the big guys, you know, but those who just have not been able to get any financing. Our small tenants, we have large ones, of course, but we have the smaller FMBs, we have smaller shops, the smaller kadais that, you know, generally find it very difficult. You see, there is this daunting 90 billion ringgit funding gap for small businesses and micro SMEs. And it's not that we don't have money in this country. We just haven't figured out how to assess credit. So credit assessment on these small guys have been difficult for the traditional banks. Again, because generally we don't look at alternative data to support this. So the hope is that with digital technology, we'll be able to use, pulling data from different sources or being able to then do credit assessment in a different way that will be able to provide funding to this group of companies. This is very important to us as a group because we have a huge ecosystem, actually, and some of our suppliers have been with us for more than 30 years.
And that's a lot of data.
Yes, and we have, I forgot how many thousand tenants we have. We have 50 over malls that I know. So that's, and all these, so within that would be largely our focus.
Basie, talk to us about, on your end, GX Bank's customer acquisition and retention strategy. I mean, starting off, of course, with 3% interest rates on the bank. Not a bad step at all.
Not a bad step at all. But first of all, I think it's about being seen. Because we are actually new kids on the block, along with actually four others. And I think programs like these really actually help us to actually get ourselves actually out there and say they are actually new digital banks. There's an Aeon Bank, there's going to be a GX Bank, and soon there'll be a Boost Bank, and actually two others will be actually coming up. So first is to introduce ourselves actually to the public. Second is that it's really is about being relevant. Mm-hmm. How do we actually be relevant to the users and the consumers actually out there whom are contemplating, right, trying a new bank, picking up new financial services actually from any one of us, right? So in our world, like I say, I think first is that we need to identify whom we want to actually bank, whom the users that we are actually targeting at. In this case, more often than not, it is the underserved. folks whom, and we've identified that the first group would be folks who do need to learn how to save and have access actually to their saving and be able to open account very quickly. So that's actually what that is. The second group actually very quickly will also be those who are what we call in our financial world, we call it those with thin credit files, right? So those whom previously did not actually have access to credit, but with the way that we're built, the fact that we have tons of data that just sits with us, we are not afraid to use alternate data to do credit modeling, just as Rajate has said, would then be able to be a lot more relevant to this group because we're able to give them that financial solution that is probably not going to be so available as a vis-a-vis if they were actually with an incumbent bank. Then there's another group, right, that you just spoke about, the micro SMEs. When we start looking into the market, there will always be a gap, right? And where's the gap and the most pressing gaps are? And we know and we're planning, right, that to serve that gap, right? And that's in the micro SME world where there is no, like you say, good banking actually for this group. How do we give that? So second is really actually be relevant. The third is actually ultimately is also about how easy it is. Is it a good experience? Right? Because banking is not something that people like to do. I'm a banker, but I don't like banking, right? So I think if you make the experience seamless, convenient, and occasionally fun, and certainly rewarding. That's where the 3% came in for actually a CASA product.
Paid out daily, which is a really good behavior metric.
Which is really good, right? Because what you can get 3% daily is that you get to see how much you earn every day, right? And encourages actually the spending behavior, the savings behavior. When you get a debit card, you get a 1% unlimited cash back. That's kind of rewarding, right? So it really, I think the experience got to be seamless, convenience, got to be fun, and ultimately it's got to be rewarding because... it's banking, no? Who likes banking, right? So I think that's where I hope that all five of us will be able to change how folks bank and they start enjoying banking actually in Malaysia.
Yeah, and I think also, you know, going through digital to reduce the friction will play a big role in that. Rajate, basically, we got one more break to get into before we get into the last few questions that I have for the both of you, which we're going into right now, actually. Folks, you're listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today, we're talking about digital banking here in the studio with Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank, as well as Lai PC, CEO of GX Bank. We'll be back in just a bit, so keep it here to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and today we're talking about digital banking here in Malaysia with Lai PC, CEO of GX Bank, as well as Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank. They're obviously representing two of the five pioneering digital banks, of which there are three that have announced offers. GX Bank launched later last year. Both Aeon Bank is in beta, and we've also got Boost Bank that is also in beta. Pacey, Rajate, let's talk a little bit about partnerships and key priorities going forward for your respective banks. Earlier, you talked about your focuses, right? And there are a few things that really come together here. One, the owners, the shareholders have their own value they provide to your respective banks, that data that you're looking at, and the flexibility to be able to do alternative data scoring. That said, partnerships can be a valuable tool in this space. There are a lot of fintech players out there doing very, very different things, funding societies being one of them, of course. Now, outside of your shareholders and parent firms, how do you both view partnerships, particularly in the fintech space, to grow going forward and maybe develop new products, Pacey?
Okay, we look at partnership in three ways. So the first is how do we find and do we have partners, right, that we can work together to enrich our data together? And there are plenty of those, actually, in Malaysia, right? Mm. Whether it's the telcos, whether it's another actually big conglomerate, right? Who has actually those data to help us to then together take those data and help us to understand customers better, to then anticipate the behavior they would have. And also, in many cases, we spoke about this actually quite extensively around alternate credit data, and so that we are able to have better modeling to get out to access, right? So that's one. That's the first set of partners that we can actually go to. The second set of partners that we go to are really actually for the market access. Because, like I said earlier, right, nobody likes to bank. And banking and is actually part of an everyday journey as you go on with your everyday life. So therefore, I should be able to work with another partner that's able to give that market access. It's something that we are still constantly actually looking on, right? And whilst we've got our big ecosystem and big market access actually with Grab, but reality is that the market is much bigger actually out there. And then the third is it's partners were able to work together to give us the right functionalities, because the reality is that it's building a digital bank is hard, and there's no reason and we have no intention to build everything ourselves. So working with really good, I think, fintech that we've seen actually in Malaysia and around the world, whom already actually have that capability and competency, right, to engage with customers, to be able to underwrite customers, right, and bring the functionalities. Those are the third group of partners that we do and want to actually work with. It is still early days, to be honest. So what we're really actually trying to do is that as we get into this current build phase, we've already actually working with the third group of partners.
Okay.
Right? And how do we then, over time, move into the second and the first group, right? One on data and the second on market access. But plenty of fintechs and technology companies that we're working with today where we leverage on their functionality and not everything we build ourselves.
Yeah, I think a lot of them also have been in the space longer. So you can tap into what they've already built, right? Rajate, what about on your end here? How does Aeon Bank view partnerships?
Same, because I've never had a division called Ecosystem Partnerships before. So this is the first time I have this little team called Ecosystem Partnerships. So they go out and look for partners to do business with. So it could be like what Pacey said, partners that can help channel data. More importantly, those who have built stuff, which we don't need to build from scratch. Does it make sense? And for instance, we've also... We have already signed up with one partner that can provide us Islamic tools. So as an Islamic bank, we have to provide those tools on our app, but we don't have to build it from scratch because there's so many components to it. So you find a good Islamic fintech that can do that with you, and then and there you go. So yeah, so those are key to us, largely on data and things that they can, you know, bring to us, channels largely, and tools.
And with that in mind then, as you look ahead with the last 3 minutes that we have actually, talk to us about, on Aeon's perspective, what are the key priorities in terms of product development going forward? I mean, outside of CASA, of course. What are the key priorities for you guys?
We have to, as with any banks, you have to provide for pretty much everything. You need to have deposit facilities. You have to have financing facilities. Also, we call our retail side personal banking, and then the micro SMEs, the business banking. So same. There's asset liability side. Both you have to provide. So the cash side and then the lending side. So, and with that, coming back to the partners, so we hope to be able to add certain more things to it so that... you know, the bit about banking, right? You actually want to buy more. You need more than just one thing. But rather than having to source through three or four different, hopefully we'll be able to make that whole journey easier for you. Because like Basie said, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to do a banking transaction today with such enthusiasm, right? But you probably say, I want to buy a pair of shoes today. So that's what you want to do. So what we have to do is to enable that purchase for you to be easier. And if it's a bigger purchase, maybe you want some cover over it, you know. So those are the things that, again, we hope the experience will make your actual intention easier. So that's where. And it has to cover pretty much everything.
Oh, that's fascinating. Essentially, acting is a little bit of a funnel towards other things in the longer term and other products as well.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting and something we'll probably touch on later on.
Because you think about it, Rohan, you say that, okay, you want to go travel somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, not do a transaction to make payments for your plane ticket or your Airbnb. So that's what your objectives are. Mm-hmm. So we are just here to then provide, to make it easy for you to make that trip to wherever it is your dream destination is.
And Basie, key priorities?
Okay, I think broadly it's this, that we will actually fill up the two sides of the balance sheet, as Rajasthi have said. So we've got a CASA and we'll actually go out with asset products. So broadly, that's that. And number two is that given the underserved segments are not only the individuals, also actually micro SMEs, we will actually fill that gap. Okay. That's broadly. Mm-hmm. Now, when you actually start going tactically, right, we are truly actually driven by our customers. By our users. They tell us, and they tell us every day now, we've been out of the door for now actually slightly more than 90 days, right? And every day our users are telling us, I want this, I think you need to improve on that, right? Why don't you give me some more of that, right? And I think that's where the coming together actually with the users, taking in feedback and iterating actually that experience and that featuring, right, helps tremendously in actually building out our roadmap. Because ultimately, actually, what we're here to do is to serve the users. Not because they want to do banking, but they want to do that something else. Buy the house, buy the car, make my dreams come true. To maybe just go to a concert, right? Mm. It could just be as simple as that. So these are the products and the solutions that are actually in our roadmap at this moment.
Rajate, Basie, it was a pleasure speaking to both of y'all. I'm sure it's only a matter of time before we follow up on what you both are doing. So thank you both for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Folks, I've been speaking with Rajate Maimuna, CEO of Aeon Bank, and Lai Pei, CEO of GX Bank. And this has been Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.